and it's understood only by pure-hearted people. Prabhupada translates pure-hearted. The Sanskrit is non-envious. Envious people can't understand Krishna. They won't be interested. They get angry to hear about Krishna because he's better than them. Nobody can compete with him. They don't believe it. He doesn't exist. It's all false. No one can be like that. No one can do that. I can't do that, so no one can. They can't understand. So this is the Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but thousands of benedictions people are promising. Swami's promise, you know, Buddhist monks promise, all kinds of things. They're not supposed to, but they do. And Christian preachers promise all. They have churches called prosperity churches, where they just promise we'll make you rich. And I saw one so-called incarnation of Krishna, and he was singing a bhajan, and he was going, just worship me, I'll make you rich. And his fans were like, ah, he's going to watch him. He's going to make gold. I'll make you rich. Yeah. They used to promise, like the Christians are promising, to heal their sickness. But now they just mostly, in Nigeria I go, they're full of these guys. And they say, we'll make you rich. And people come and they give everything they have, the poorest people. But the country is one of the poorest countries in the world. The priests are very, the pastors are very rich. But the people, but they always get someone to testify. I came to this church and I was a beggar on the street, but now I've got 2 mansions and 5 Mercedes. And the people, people are easily fooled. And then we're promising Lord Chaitanya saying Nadanama Janama Sundarim Kavitam Bhajagadish Kamai. Give up everything. I don't want anything. I don't want money. I don't want popularity. I don't want beautiful women. I don't want, you know, any of these things. I just want causes of personal service. So it takes special mercy to appreciate that and want that. So these prayers, you know, to try to help us, how great devotees are. And someday maybe we can feel this. So I offer my obeisance to you, O Ananta Vishnu Damodar, O Master, my Lord. Be pleased upon me by showering your glance of mercy. Deliver me, this poor ignorant fool who is immersed in an ocean of worldly sorrows, and become visible to my eyes. Just like the 2 sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, were delivered from the curse of Narada and made into great devotees by you in your form as a baby, tied with a rope to the wooden grinding mortar. In the same way, please give me your own prema bhakti. I only long for this and have no desire for any kind of liberation. He repeats it over and over again. Doesn't even want liberation. That's, you know, many people striving for that. Liberation, moksha, salvation. I just want to get out of suffering. The devotee doesn't think about that. He just wants to serve Krishna. So everybody knows Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They were very rich boys, the sons of Kuvera. So Prabhupada explains it like rich boys. I think we see this in India now. They like intoxication. They like women, gambling. One time I went in Bombay. When I was sick, I went in the health spa to the sauna. And you know, when you walk down the street, you see so many beggars and poor people. And there was 3 young, some kind of businessmen in there, computer guys, I think. So the one guy was talking about how he likes to go to Las Vegas. He says, but I just take $300, and when that's finished, then I quit. I'm all right. I wanted to just rip his, you know, just look at all these people starving, you know, hungry people who don't have a house, and you just think it's very wonderful that you go and throw away $300 just for your so-called fun. Gambling, and of course the casino is lots of intoxication also. wherever they know, wherever there's a casino, there'll be so much more crime for a certain radius, and so much more in time. Because if somebody wins, they drink to celebrate, and if they lose, they drink to, forget about it. And there's many suicide in the casino parking lots also. But, they're thinking it's all right. I don't. But you know that if they keep doing it, one day they win a little bit, and then they think, well, next time I'll take a little more, and I'm going to win big. And then, but it's impossible.
Even the people that know that gambling and can win, there are people that are experts. They kick them out. They don't let them. No, you can't gamble. It's not gambling. It's not fair. If you know how to win, you can't do it. And if you just gamble, the odds are if you give $100, you get 17 back. Not a very good percentage. So that these boys got addicted like that. But they were intoxicated. They were in the river with the beautiful young girls, naked, and just completely oblivious. And Narada Muni happened to come by. And the girls saw him, so they ran away. They probably, in the old days, the girls didn't drink. Now they do. I don't know in India, but in Europe it's a big concern. Now the girls drink more than the men. So they ran away, but the boys didn't even see him. So he thought, this is terrible. How can I help them, So he cursed them, but he was thinking, what kind of curse can I give that will benedict them? A devotee never really curses anybody. We read about Brahmins cursing, but devotees never curse. Devotees give benediction. So in this case, it looked like a curse, but it was really a benediction. So he cursed them to become trees for 5,000 years. But of course, they're demigods, so 5,000 earth years, not so much. Right? They had full consciousness in the body of a tree. That's the karma. If you like to go naked all the time, then trees are always naked. Nowadays in the cities and up north, they put some clothes on the trees. In the winter, they wrap them up so they don't freeze. But only a little bit. The top is completely exposed. The ice and snow is hanging off the trees, and the branches break from the weight of the ice. Terrible life. And then in the summer, they get cooked, and they can't move. They can't take shelter. But they were in the yard there where the Krishna would be as a child. So they, when Krishna came there, then they were witnessing playing in the yard as a baby. So very rare that anybody would get such unlimited darshan somehow or other. So by the time Krishna broke the tree, they'd become great devotees. Because the demigods, they know about Krishna, but they don't surrender necessarily. They have some idea. So when Krishna broke the tree, then they came out and they were effulgent demigods again. But they had become pure devotees. They had Krishna praying. And then they just offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. And Krishna said, now you can go back to your heavenly planets. But then because they're devotees, after they finish their whatever time they have is in the heavenly planet, they can go to be with Krishna. So he did that, and he broke those big Arjuna trees are very big, and if it's a 5,000-year-old tree, it's going to get really big. And Dina Bandhu, he was showing us some in Mauritius or something. There was Arjuna trees, and there was a big hurricane or something. They didn't break. It was so big. So, but Krishna just crawled between them with this wooden thing which should have broken instead of the tree. And the rope would have broken no matter if a bulldozer was pulling it. But the trees broke. Krishna broke them. If you've ever seen, sometimes on television, on the National Channel, the Geographic, you see that cutting these big trees. And they make a huge noise. And they fall. It's really loud. very dangerous. The lumberjacks, they call them, the guys that cut those big trees, they have the highest injury rate of any job, even more than the slaughterhouse. Because they don't know sometimes. They plan very carefully, but they can't really know that the wind comes at the wrong time, the tree might not go the direction. And it's got all those branches and everything, and huge thing. It comes crashing down, and the guys get smashed. So everybody came running when they heard it. And, of course, Krishna arranged it. Didn't fall on anybody. It's in a wide open space. And he's just sitting there playing. And nobody knew what happened. So the boys had seen it. Some of the young boys, and they said, well, Krishna crawled between these trees, and then the trees broke, and these two golden men came out, and they offered so many prayers to Krishna, and then they disappeared, and they thought, these kids, how can they make up such a story? Then some of them, they started remembering all the other things that Krishna had, you know, Putana, Srinivartha, and all these different things that already had happened, so they thought it might be true, you know. They said, Nanda Maharaj, you know, you shouldn't chastise this guy. There must be at least some big demigod. So, it's a very wonderful part of the Bhagavatam. Many, many lessons, many philosophies there about, you know, the effects of riches and how poverty is sometimes an advantage. Because a rich man, any sense gratification he wants, he can get it right away. And he thinks, I don't need anything else. I have that money. But a poor man, like we see when, I don't know, in India is a little different. Rich people are often pious. In other countries, often the people who give donations freely are the poorest people. And when you say we're trying to help people, they go, oh yeah, that's good. And the rich people say, well, I need help. And you can't even approach them because they have so much security in their house. If you're in a car, you can't see them. I heard in India you can't have those black windows. In other countries, the rich people have completely black windows. You can't see in unless you put your head right there with a big light. They can see out a little bit. So their house has a 4-meter wall with electric wire and gas wire and cameras and security guards, and then they come out in the car. And they go to the office, which is even more guarded. It's very hard to approach them. The poor people, they're not worried. They don't have anything to steal. So they're very open. So that's mentioned there. They'll welcome a sadhu into their house. The rich man, you know, not so likely. So it's a great leela. And then the next is start to, you know, people start to understand Krishna is something special. He just wants to remember all this. Damodar, I first of all offer my obeisance to your brilliantly effulgent robe, which binds your belly. Then I offer it to your belly, which is devoted to the entire universe, meaning, you know, from Mahavishnu comes from Vishnu comes a lotus flower, and that's where the whole universe is within that lotus stem, and then Brahma has to put it in its place. So they understand that Krishna, you know, that this Vishnu comes from Krishna. This Vyasa goes in. I humble bow down to your most beloved Srimati Radharani, and I offer all obeisances to you, the Supreme Lord, who displays unlimited pastime. So these pastimes, even one pastime is unlimited. The more we read it, it never gets old. That's the way it is in Goloka. You can read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The same things keep happening again and again, but they never remember. You know, the same demons come. Krishna kills Kamsa, but then everybody forgets about it. And then, of course, there's not really demons in the Goloka, just a show. In the Gokula, they really come. But it happens only once, and then Krishna moves on. So that's Bhakti Yoga, the devotees. Everything is new and fresh. And we get a little bit, maybe, understanding that when we're chanting, you know.
one devotee, he kind of went crazy, and he told another devotee, you know, chanting is boring. And the devotee got so mad. You can say you don't like it, but you can't say it's boring, you know. But he had some mental problem. You can say, I don't like. One boy, I was at his house the other day, and young boy, he said that chanting is sweeter than ice cream on my tongue. That was interesting, because the devotee asked me in China, you know, when you talk about the taste, do you really get a taste? You know, is it like when you're eating? But yeah, I think so. I don't know. But this little boy is saying it's better than ice cream. So that's the taste we get. So we want to keep chanting. And Jayananda Prabhu, my godbrother, who left his body long ago, but every time he ate prasadam, he'd say, this was the best prasadam. And they'd say, but you said that yesterday. Said, yeah, that was the best. And every kirtan, this was the best kirtan. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't putting on the show. At that time, you know, there was no information of all this show to put on him. It was genuine. He was relishing it so much, so he always felt like this is the best time, best day of my life. And this is how we should feel. And when we read these leelas, we should think that I just want to hear it again and again. And this one you can read over and over again all throughout Karthi. I was going to bring this book that Bhakti Purushottam wrote, you know, where he puts in a lot of stuff from different acharyas, all kinds of details, what Krishna was thinking and all this. And that's in, I think, if we read in the 10th canto, we find in the purport. This, you know, Jiva Goswami explains like this, and Mother Yasoda's thinking that. So Krishna was, you know, just benedicting his mother and benedicting everyone. You know, they chastised Mother Yasoda for tying him up. Shouldn't do that, but she was worried, you know, he was going to, while she was taking care of the house, he's going to run away and get lost, get in trouble, you know, that he could be hurt. And it says, like, see, Krishna supposedly was thinking, well, she left me, I'm hungry still, and she went to turn off the milk boiling. But it, of course, you know, when milk boils over, it's a big mess. But Mother Yasoda very carefully, because she thought Krishna's stealing yogurt from other houses, because maybe they have better milk. You know? So she had special cows, and she would collect special grass for the cows, because according to what the cows eat, the milk tastes like that. Now, like in the West, the cows eat soybeans and corn, and the milk's not very good. It's supposed to be green grass. And so she would get all kinds of herbs and special things. So she had this special milk that she was going to give Krishna to make yogurt. So she thought it's all going to boil over, I have to stop it. Krishna is thinking, she left me and I'm hungry. I'll show her. So he broke one butter pot, and they said he broke it very carefully on the bottom so it didn't make any noise, and then the yogurt was leaking out. And then he started feeding the monkeys. And then he got worried, my mother's going to find out, so he ran away, but he walked through the yogurt, so he left footprints. And then she could follow him easily, but she couldn't catch him until he, you know, let her love for him just increase so intensely. Then she saw he was so afraid of the stick, so she got worried, and then she threw the stick away. And just to tie him up, but only to protect him. Sometimes mothers, sometimes I see mothers, they have like the child with a, not a rope, but like you put your dog in. Just wild kids, they just run, they get in trouble. Some of them you can't train. But the mind, we have to train the mind. Keep a tight rein. I think sometimes asking them about the mind. You see people walking their dogs. In Vrindavan even, now, a lot of people imported dogs. You know, walking the dog on the Purkhama trail. Big German dogs. But in Japan, there's so many people walking their dogs. They love their dogs. know, they carry a plastic bag and then the dog does his thing and you pick it up, carry it to the garbage. Some people take their dog out at night, you know, and illegally let it leave it, but they're mostly afraid. But some people, the dog is, you know, he just walks along and they tell him, stop, sit down. Some people don't even need a rope. And so that you can train the mind like that also by chanting. But most people, the dog is not, he's always running this way and then they just, they jerk him. And then the dog pulls him for a while, you know, and he just wants to sniff something and then they drag him back. You know. So they don't train the dog. They just want to fight with it, I think. Because it takes time, but they can train dogs to do amazing things. It takes a lot of time, you have to repeat and repeat and repeat. So we can train the mind by constantly repeating the mantra, repeating these leelas, and repeating the mantra, and doing again and again and again, and the mind will become under the control of Krishna. When the intelligence is proper, it's guided by Krishna, then it controls the mind, so it's really controlled by Krishna. That picture shows the horses. So the reins? You call them, you know, put in the horse's mouth. That's like the mind. And it's the driver's of intelligence. But if the driver falls asleep, then the mind is not controlling the senses anymore. The senses drag it away. It's like horses run away if the driver gets, like in the old movies in America, somebody's always shooting the driver and then the coach runs away and the girl inside is crying and crying and it's running towards the cliff and the Lone Ranger comes, somebody comes on a faster horse. It was always very exciting. But it's the same thing, that the mind is running wild and we have to get the intelligence and take Krishna to catch up and help us pull it back. We have to depend on Krishna, and that means the holy name, chanting the holy name. Remembering these past times, we offer the lamp, you know. Many people like to go to Vrindavan, but you can be anywhere, and it can be Vrindavan if you're really worshiping Krishna. We don't want to go to Vrindavan and just sit in the MBT and eat pizza. Many devotees do. We do something for the good spouses, you know, show them, you know, the kirtan, or help them, like, some devotees are really helping the poor good spouses, it's very nice. Devotees are trying to clean up all the trash, or, you know, plant trees along the Purkama Trail or something, you know, serve the Dham, preach about the Dham to everybody. The Damodar is the sweetest of all the sweet leelas, and that's a special feature that Krishna has. The greatness is there, but the sweetness is what you really relish. That when a devotee is very, very advanced, and he doesn't think about the greatness, only the sweetness. We have to be a little bit on reverence. We're worshiping Krishna in a formal way, but we're on the path. Because we're doing it under Lord Chaitanya's path, we'll come to that point to go to Goloka. We don't have to do some special, you know, tricks or something. Just carry on with the Sankirtan movement, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All right. Any comments or questions? Huh? Everybody satisfied?